we're going to begin tonight. As we've been talking about lessons from the prayer. I wonder what's in that box tonight. I did bring Jacob. Look at that. I remember tonight. I'm not sure if I'll need it or not tonight. Oh, yeah, I'm going to need it. We'll see what's in here. We're talking about lessons from the prayer farm. We talked about this last 2 weeks ago, I guess, or whenever it was. I guess it was before Bible school, so that was in between here. But the first week, we talked about keeping the ground tender, how to keep our hearts soft and tender and workable. And then we talked last week about dealing with those pesky weeds. Todd will be glad I didn't bring any ragweed or anything with me that'll cause allergies to flare up. Thorns and the parable, the seed and the sower, the thorns that grew up. I remember they were likened unto weeds, but I like that in the parable. I pointed out every week the thorns. And when I'm weeding the garden, I'm thinking the weeds of sin, these nasty sins that keep coming back. You can't get rid of them. But in reality, Jesus said the weeds or the thorns are what? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They're the things that choke out our fruitfulness. And we think of, well, the wicked sin. I'm not in wicked sin, but are we more concerned about the things of the world than the things of God? Are we more concerned about making a dollar than worshiping God and telling folks about Jesus? That's what's choking out the fruitfulness in our life. But today we're going to talk about dealing with pests. Dealing with pests. And Jacob's right up here, so I'd like to pick on him. I'm not talking about that pest, all right? Liz is over here. We'll talk about her. Or these guys. There's a bunch of pests over here, Brother Todd, right? There's some pests we're going to deal with. We won't turn here, but I'm going to put a verse up here that you can read with me. The verse is in 1 Peter 5:8. Some of you know. I think Connor quoted this or had asked if somebody knew it Sunday. Is that Sunday morning or Sunday night? I listened to them the same time, so I wasn't sure which one was which. So, not saying one in one ear and the other, one right after the other. So, 1 Peter 5:8. If you see it, or if you can't see it, let's see if we can quote it together. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. How many had that verse memorized? How many can say it without... Well, of course you can say it when it's up there. How many can say it without it up there? Somebody say it without looking at it. Becca? Yeah. Now, my hearing's not real good. She said it right. All right. I got some candy that's getting stale I need to get rid of. All right. I'm getting tired of eating it because it's supposed to be soft. It's getting kind of crunchy. But still tastes good, though. Just got to suck on it for a little while. Should I just throw it all out? All right. Well, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. No, as a roaring lion. I get those phrases mixed up. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's some pests. Of course, the biggest pest, the biggest enemy we face is the devil. Now, there's some things I want to talk about, these pests, and identify some of them, and talk about how to deal with them in the garden and in life in general, and especially those spiritual pests. First of all, we need to know that these pests are not as innocent as they look. They're not as innocent as they look, these pests that we're dealing with. What do you mean by that? You know, sometimes some of these pests are kind of cute looking, to be quite honest with you. Remember the days when you used to go out for picnics before you went and stopped to get a hamburger somewhere? We used to go out, and that cold chicken is still my favorite thing to eat. At a picnic, oh boy, leftover cold fried chicken, baked chicken, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be warmed up. Sometimes my wife has leftover. We pull leftovers out and said, don't bother nuking it. I'll just eat it cold. It's good that way. It's even better if I go outside and eat it cold. And the potato salad, oh yeah, something about that potato salad at a picnic, and especially the extra flavoring you get in the potato salad, those cute little bugs, right? They're the cutest little... I thought that they were put in potato salad on purpose when I was a kid. I thought they were there for the flavoring. I thought they were some kind of seed that adds a little, just call them potato salad bugs is what I call them. In fact, I want a picture of one. I just typed in picture of a potato salad bug. That's the first thing that came up. I don't know what their real name is. That's all I've ever called them. And they're kind of cute little things, aren't they? They're not. Or these things here, I've learned what those are. Some folks call them stink bugs. That's actually not a stink bug. That's something else. We'll talk about in a little bit. Those are squash bugs. Best thing to do is squash them. They're called squash bugs because I learned the second year I grew pumpkins and squash. They love pumpkins and squash and watermelons, and we'll talk about them. But they're kind of neat-looking little things, actually. They kind of look like they're wearing a shield of armor or something. And some of those are like, oh, boy, that is a groovy bug, isn't it? Well, that looks like better than a sports car, that paint job on that thing. That is the neatest looking bug I've ever seen. Aren't those innocent looking things? But they're not as innocent as they look. Trust me, that thing's completely harmless. I pick them up. I had Ben helping me last year and said, you just pick these things up. And you look at them and think, I'm not going to pick those things up. They look like they'd rip your arm off if you grabbed a hold of it. Look like they'd bite you and you'd die the next day. But they are cute little things. Other kind of pests, oh, that's a cute little thing, isn't it? I took that a few years ago when I was on a bike ride. Somebody's front yard just standing there looking at me. And in fact, I saw it and I thought, I'm going to pull my camera out and came back and it was still there posing for me. So I don't know where they go during hunting season, but in the summertime, they're out. And they're kind of neat looking animals, aren't they? They're not as innocent as they look. Now, we got these running all over our yard. I like them back there. I have things for them to hide in. When we've got kids around, we go out and try to find some babies. We did it when our grandkids were here. In fact, they had a nest out there. I can't believe that thing is still, at least one of the babies survived, one of the three. I'm not sure how many were in there. They said they were three. I didn't dig down all the way, but we got one out one day to let them all pet. Oh, so soft and so cute. So harmless, aren't they? These things are more fun to watch than any monkey you'll ever watch in a zoo. How many of you have ever had a pet one? We had a pet one for a while. Didn't last real long. I know Amy's family used to always have a pet coon, it seemed like, when we were kids. They're a lot of fun. They're the cutest little things. They're not as innocent as they look. And here's a warning for parents, and maybe more so for grandparents. Don't praise your children for their cuteness. You ever say, oh, you're so cute. Don't do that. Don't do that. Praise your children for their godly character. Now, you ought to praise your children for something, not for their cuteness, but for their godly character. Cutefulness can be deceitful. That's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? Be careful about that. They're so cute. They look so innocent, but they're not as innocent as they can, as they look. Let me just give you a couple things to think about here. The damage that they cause is real and destructive. I didn't get that whole statement on there for some reason. The damage they cause is real and it's destructive. That cute little beetle bug that looks like it's got a sports car paint job on it. That's what the leaves look like if they're left on there very long. And they're supposed to be full leaves. They look like skeleton leaves. And even though they're a cute looking bug, neat looking little thing, and those cute little raccoons, oh, aren't they sweet? If you let them get into the sweet corn, that's what the sweet corn's going to look like. A few years ago, I lost everything because I thought, oh, the coon, we're safe from the coons now. But one night, they came in and destroyed everything. And I think they called all the reinforcements, all the neighbors from the whole block to come in. Hey, come on over. I think Jacob was probably over there with them, too. And had a whole crew over there. But they came and they just destroyed everything. That's just a little bit they've gotten into this year. These pests are real and destructive. Oh, I did put it in there. And they must be dealt with. They must be dealt with. They're not just going to go away.
In reality, the remedy for them might sound harsh and cruel and even unreasonable to some folks, but they must be dealt with or you're not going to have a crop. We kind of joked about some things this weekend about the difference between city folks and country folk. Every once in a while, I'm stuck somewhere where I've got to listen to the news and a motel room or somewhere where they got the news blaring. Yeah, I don't know why in the world they do that. I go down to the lobby in motels and I've stayed there. I'm the only one in there. I go shut the stupid TV off. And then somebody comes around the corner and turns it on. And then they leave. What do you got that stupid thing on for? I'm trying to pray and read my Bible in here. And you got that stupid thing going. But they always have one of these feel-good stories. You know, we found a coyote in downtown Chicago. So we trapped it. And we humanely brought it out in the country and released it so it can live bountifully and happily the rest of its life. Little did they know, every farmer's got a rifle in their tractor to shoot those stupid things. When I catch the raccoons and as I deal with them, I tell people I relocate them. And whenever I'm talking to a farmer, they say, you better not relocate them stupid things around me. No, I relocate them about 2 feet underground. But they've got to be dealt with or you're not going to get a crop. They've got to be dealt with. And let me mention this, and this is good. They don't always attack the fruit. They don't always attack the fruit. I want you to turn somewhere in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to show you a verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. They don't always just attack the fruit. In fact, if you look at this first picture here, and you notice the berries there, that's a raspberry bush there. The bugs don't touch the berries. The berries are perfectly fine. But they're going to destroy those leaves, and what's going to happen to the berries? They're going to die. They do the same thing to a bean plant. They'll eat the leaves, clean off a bean plant. The squash bugs will eat the leaves completely off the pumpkin plant or the watermelon plant. They don't normally bother until they got all the leaves gone. They might take a chunk out of the watermelon. They don't like that very well, but they don't really destroy it, but they'll destroy the leaves. And once they do that, there's no more producing of any fruit. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves of the apostles of Christ. Hey, we're here to help you. We're not going to hurt the plant. We're not going to hurt the fruit. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if the ministers also be transformed as ministering righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They don't always attack the fruit. We're not going to attack the church members. We're just going to undermine some things that the church is teaching. But we're not going to hurt you. We're not going to hurt the fruit. We're not going to hurt the... And sometimes folks will come into it, they creep into a church or in a family and all. We're not going to destroy you outright, but we're going to undermine some things. We're going to get rid of that fruit or that leaf so you can't produce anything anymore. We're here to help you, right? Like the government says, we're come to help you. Right. Ain't going to be no help. Be better off to. They don't always attack outright. They're deceitful in many ways. And the second thing, and we'll spend more time here in the time we have left. There are the natural remedies for these pests are the best. The natural remedies are the best. Anybody in here like mosquitoes? And I didn't think anybody liked mosquitoes. So if there is, you ought to have your head examined. But I don't like mosquitoes. But, you know, how many when you go outside, you got to put bug spray all over you? I can't stand that stuff. I got sensitive skin. There ain't this will work. This doesn't bother you. Oh, yeah, it does. The only remedy for bug spray is long sleeves. And I brought something here. This is a fly swatter, I think is what it is. This works great. I thought, I gotta wear this tonight. This will be fun. Oh, yeah. I like to be outside, but I don't like those mosquitoes. The only problem with this is early in the morning when the snot starts flowing, don't forget you have that on when you do the farmer blow. That's kind of bad. Or when you clear your throat and, oh, man, that's a mess. And you just turn it around and try the other side for a while. But after a while, you run out of sides and it gets a little bit messy. But, you know, the best remedy for mosquitoes, not all that spray you put on and not to stay inside, but to put something on to protect. I look better with that on, don't I? Probably look better with it like that. But that's just, or, and to wear long sleeves. We say, well, it's hot. Go out early in the morning. It's not so hot. In fact, the same remedy for the sun. Now you put sunscreen all over yourself or just put long sleeves on. Or better yet, go out in the morning before the sun's baking everybody. The natural remedies are the best. That's just a reality. We'll get into a couple of things here, but, you know, some things we can do to prevent, preventative measures. Well, we can put some, fencing around. I do that a couple of things because I like the rabbits around. There's just a few things that they bother, so I put a little piece of fence around there until the plant's big enough they won't bother it anymore. The squash bug. There's some things that you can prevent. In fact, the flowers out here, the marigolds. The marigolds are supposed to prevent rabbits from coming around. I don't know if you noticed, there's marigolds over there. That's where we found two rabbits' nests, right next to all the marigolds. I don't think that works real good. That's supposed to keep the rabbits away, but it doesn't seem to work real good. Some of these things are, sometimes they work. Sometimes a fence will work, and I know some folks have a sweet corn. They put electric fence around, but the raccoons can usually always get around that thing. I'm not sure what it is about that. The squash bugs, there's some remedies that I found are natural remedies. In fact, the first year I had an infestation of them, I didn't realize some of the things I was doing was attracting them to the garden. I like to use a lot of compost, and sometimes we were getting so much stuff in the food pantry, instead of letting it compost, I just throw it out there. That's the worst thing you can do. And sometimes you put mulch in there to keep the ground moist. I found out after that first year that squash bugs lay their eggs in all that mulch. You don't want that stuff in there. Now, these aren't necessarily garden tips. These are just some things that make an illustration here for you. Some of the insects and diseases that get into plants is many times because the plants are too close together. There's no airflow between them. And that's why they prune apple trees to where the branches aren't touching each other. And you plant things with a little space between them to give air room to move through. Those are just some preventative measure. There's some natural remedies that I found. And in fact, I even brought, I don't like to spray in pesticides and insecticides. I don't like to spray things, but I found some things that are perfectly safe to spray. And I thought, I'm going to spray it to show you how safe it is. This is actually a mixture here that I used. Anybody want to try? You can actually drink this stuff if you want to. Oh, yeah, you can. You don't believe me, Linda? Well, send one of your grandkids up here to try it. Connor would do it. It's actually harmless. It's actually, what it is neem oil. It's just oil from the sap of a neem tree. I'm not sure what a neem tree is. I don't know if they grow around here, but it's really inexpensive. It doesn't kill the bugs. But if I spray it on the raspberries, the bugs ain't going to like it anymore. It just gives a little bit of a bitter taste, kind of like a garlic taste. And some people say, we don't want to put it on the fruit just because it'll get that fruit. But I've sprayed it on the fruit, didn't buy it. It doesn't taste that bad. It's kind of sour. It's just an oil that you mix with water. These are just some natural. And one of the things that I got that for the squash bugs, I found it works great. In fact, this is a pot. I won't want to spray it because my wife will be cussing me for 2 weeks trying to vacuum this off the carpet. but it's just a real fine powder of diatomaceous earth, it's called. What does that mean? That's a big fancy name. What it is actually is fossilized pond scum. It's totally harmless. In fact, the bag that you buy this in, and I just wind it when I'm weeding things, if I see some bugs, I just give them a little squirt. And it just puts a coat of powder on them. And this is actually a food supplement. It's supposed to cure everything that ails you. So I tried it for a couple of months to see what it does. Just put a spoonful of water, kind of like drinking water with chalk dust in it. How do you know it's chalk? Because I grew up in school eating chalk and crayons and all those kind of things and boogers and all that kind of stuff that every kid eats in school. It's totally harmless, but what it does to the bugs is it suffocates them, because how do bugs breathe? Through the exoskeleton, through their skin. And the dust is so fine that it suffocates them. But you got to get it on them. They say if you get it on the leaves and they crawl through it, but that I don't trust that. It doesn't work as effective as if you get it on them. But the problem with that is you don't want it on the bees, right, Brother Todd? That would be bad for them. But this is our natural things, and they can be bad for others. And those little bugs, I was going to bring a bucket of them, but they get stinking after a while. I just bring a bucket with a little soap, and I'm out checking the berry, just flick the bugs in there. Right, Ben? Just grab them and throw them in the bucket. And he didn't like that too well. He hadn't come back to help me since I had him do that job. He just put them in there, and after a while you get a bucket full of them, and they just drown him there. That'll kill them, that'll get rid of them. But the natural remedies are the best. But the reason a lot of folks don't like them, it's just like everything else, the natural remedies are always the best, but they're not as easy. Isn't it easier just to spray something? It's all dead. Well, I don't know if I want to be eating that stuff. But what it does to other things? When I was a kid, I guess now looking back, when I first found out what herbicides do, I didn't know there was such a thing as herbicides when I was a kid. My dad didn't need herbicides because he had 9 sons and 4 daughters that all had fingers. And we could go pull those weeds out from the cracks of the sidewalk. I don't know if Roundup was around then. I never heard of that until I was an adult. We never needed it because we had kids. We'd just go pull that stuff out. And you just pull the weeds. And I didn't know that there was stuff that you could spray on them. I'm kind of glad for it now, even though I had bloody knuckles most of the time when I was a kid because of doing things like that. But that's not easy. It's easier to just spray them and then go in and watch your cartoons the rest of the day or whatever you do. But the side effects of those things, even though it might be easy, the unusual diseases and the allergies that are now common, the mental illness and things that used to be unheard of, are so. I wonder where that comes from. I wonder, and some of the things they found out that it's killing off everything. You ever notice when you go outside, you see a whole lot of hawks and eagles now? When I was a kid, it was a rare. In fact, we had to go to Canada to see bald eagles. We see them out. I've seen hawks eat birds in our yard before. We had never seen that. In fact, deer were a very scarce thing because of the things that were being sprayed. And they found out, we need to quit spraying this. And they dropped some of it, but not all of it. I just noticed this when I went to camp a couple of weeks ago. Driving down that lane before you get there and you look off to the side of that, I think it's a bean field now. There's a field over there when you first come in. On the other side of that field is a woods. I'm not sure if that's your property yet. But I noticed some random trees that are just some big, good-sized trees that are dead. You see that everywhere. Like, what's killing them? The side effects of all that stuff that's harmless. I don't trust it. But that's the easy route. I thought, wow, what a spiritual application. The easy way always seems best, doesn't it? When you get into rough situation, the easy thing is, let's hit the road. And marriage is having a hard time, let's just split. Having trouble in church, having trouble with a co-worker, let's quit, let's leave, let's go somewhere else. Let me give you something that's good to... Boy, I can taste that stuff. It kind of tastes good now that I got a taste of it. Don't you ever eat chalk? That's good for you. There are no shortcuts in walking with God. There are no shortcuts in walking with God. Boy, it'd be easy just to spray those bugs and kill them all off. I wouldn't want to be eating anything that most people would spray them with. After that's been sprayed. There are no shortcuts. I want you to go to one of my favorite psalm. I've got a lot of favorite psalms. This is, I guess if I had to choose one, this would be my favorite psalm. Psalm chapter number 1. And oh, what a great truth. I'm so glad in Joshua 1 is another chapter, not just verse number 8, but about verse number 6 through about verse number 10 is a great section of Scripture to memorize. There are no easy shortcuts in walking with the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 1. Some of you could probably quote it for me. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." It'll walk away from some folks. It'll walk away from some forms of entertainment. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And notice the digression there. First we listen to them, and then we stand beside them, and then we sit down and get comfortable with them. The best thing is to stay far away. But His delight, the things He finds pleasure in, is the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. What's the thing we think about when our mind's in neutral? Is it God's Word? Or is it about the day's work activities? Or the next thrill you're going to seek? The next day off, what you're going to do? What do we meditate on? What do we delight in? But He shall be, notice this, if we choose the path that God's given us, we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And His leaf also. What do those bugs usually attack? The leaves. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's not an easy thing. There are no shortcuts in walking with God. I've been begging God, and I mentioned this a number of times, that I've asked you to join me in learning to pray. Seeking God in prayer like never before. And I'm amazed what God's taught me in the last 3 years. And to be quite honest with you, the recent trial that we've gone through, I have no question about it. If God's not been taking me through that school of prayer, I wouldn't have made it the last month. I can guarantee you, no question about it. There's no easy way. But we live in a day where we want things easy. We got a problem, we just want to pop a pill. We don't want to change our life. We don't want to change our habits. We don't want to change what we do. We don't want to change our routine. We'd like to just pop a pill and it'll be a miracle. Voila! It's done. We want to enjoy good health, but we don't want to exercise. We don't want to eat right. We want to take care of our body. We want the easy way. There is no... And because of that, we also want the easy way when it comes to spiritual things. God, if I give you 5 minutes a day, is that enough? God wants every minute of every day. God, if I check in and, okay, I read this Bible verse, I read that chapter, look at that, I read through my Bible this year, but what did you get out of it? How real was it? How we need to realize that there is no shortcut to walking with God and having a relationship with God. And we'd like to, rather than growing our, I'm kind of gotten into, I don't know, it's age thing or what, but how many like sauerkraut? You want any? I'm growing the real stuff. I mean the good stuff. We kind of, and my wife says, don't be brewing that stuff in the house. I love the smell. She said, you're weird though. I like the taste, but I don't like, hey, walk in our house, woo, smells great, like sauerkraut. I don't know if it smells great to you, but it's easy to just go buy a can of it in the store. I like to eat sauerkraut. I guess I got enough German in me. But it was one of those things when I was a kid that I didn't want my siblings to know that because we had to eat everything and everything get dumped on me if they found out that I liked it. So couldn't eat that much. I love it. But the stuff that you buy in the store is dead. All the useful things are gone. It's just a wasted filling space in your stomach, but all the good qualities are gone because it's been the canning process kills everything. But it's easy just to go into a store and buy things, isn't it? Well, it's easy just to go in and get that stuff. But there's the same thing is true with spiritual things. If you want lasting results, there are no shortcuts. Say, Lord, I'd like you to answer prayer, but I don't want to know what it is to spend the night in prayer. God, I'd like you to win the loss, but I don't want to go knocking on doors. God, I'd like to know the Bible, but I don't have the time to study the Bible. There are no shortcuts to walking with God. And I just encourage you to take the time and those pests that'll discourage you and push you away or rob you. And again, they don't always, they look so innocent, but they rob you of, they don't come and attack the fruit, they'll attack the leaves that are so important in bearing the fruit. They won't say, well, quit reading the Bible. They'll just say, you know, you don't need to spend that much time in the Bible. They won't tell you, well, don't pray, but they'll just say, well, you know, 5 minutes of prayer a day is good. You pray for your food, don't you? In fact, somebody told me when I was in college that we don't pray for our meals, we just pray for our groceries when we get them. That saves a lot of time down the road. No. We want the easy way. We want shortcuts. We want to do it. We don't want to take the time to do what God wants us to do when it comes to spiritual things. And again, we're not focusing just on gardening things, but on walking with the Lord and making some application there. Father, I pray.